One in 3 years. This is Devin Cole. I'm here with Najot Saron. We're doing soccer podcast number 2 about the World Cup. And as you may know from our last podcast, we're going to be covering the World Cup once a week. So look for our podcast every Wednesday. This one's a little bit late, but that's okay. We have a lot to talk about. Najot has a whole agenda plan. And I just want to let you know going in that Najot's had a pretty rough week this week. I'm not allowed to tell you exactly why, but let's just say that it's going to prevent her from going to Barcelona, which is a huge loss for everybody. We want Najot to be able to go and experience things.
Can we say
things.
Especially Gerard Piqué?
Yeah, and well, Gerard Piqué is the one who's the biggest loser in this tragic, tragic turn of events. So Najot is, you know, in kind of a rough mood, which actually
and
may
Cess.
Make this... And Cess, well, Cess too.
I want to talk about the friendlies over the, you know, last week. It was pretty interesting to see how the teams are shaping up. And, you know, what was funny is how Argentina played so well. They struggled throughout the qualifying rounds.
Who'd they beat?
They beat Canada, though.
Well, there you go.
but you know, there was a lot of teamwork going on. I know both Higuain and... Tevez are fighting for, you know, a place as a striker. Mm-hmm. And there was this time that Higuain passed the ball to Tevez to actually score. Tevez passed the ball to Higuain, to score a goal. And, you know, you could just see that they're getting along as a team. And sometimes I feel it's about self-belief. And I feel Argentinians have this self-belief that they will do well. Same with the Germans.
And I don't know how you didn't mention this, but Maradona promised that if they won the World Cup...
He would go streaking!
He's going to streak through VA.
The way his beard is growing, I do not want to see that.
You're going to see a little fat man running around naked. Anyway.
What do people perceive him as in this country? Because, seriously, I mean, I feel maybe South Americans think it's okay for him to be like that. I don't know. We need to talk to some South Americans to understand that. But I think he's crazy.
Well... Do you want Americans don't have a clue who he is? And if they do, they mostly know him as a player. We don't hear a ton about, you know, his antics and all that here unless you're really into soccer. And if you're really into soccer, what you hear is that he totally arbitrary, the team that he picked for the World Cup is.
They don't have a defense. Can you believe that?
It's like his friend's kid is on the team and he picked, you know, he left the entire Inter Milan
Zanetti
and Cambiaso off the team, even though they just won the Champions League, and so that's what you hear about. Milito's on there. Yeah. So. He left another Milito off, the guy who plays in Spain.
I want to ask you. I want to talk about history versus form. I mean, you can see the Germans really think about the last World Cup.
Can you tell me what you mean by history and what you mean by form?
I mean, you know how a team believes that they can do well and they end up going... And World Cup is more about... Like, I truly believe that the USA is going in this just to go to the quarterfinals. And that's what they lack at this moment. You know, the self-belief that they... I don't think so, they personally believe.
Like, you don't think that they have the idea that they're a real contender in this tournament?
No, they don't. They don't think that way.
Argentina or Germany or France might be weaker than they've been in years past, but they've been to the finals before.
So they think we can do it, yeah.
Okay, that makes sense. And so by form, you mean how they've played in the last, you know, 10 international matches.
Yeah, and Argentina and France have not played well. They've played horrendously. Mm-hmm. Even Portugal, for that sense.
Yeah, they've been playing terribly.
So, but Spain, are they really crumbling under pressure now?
I don't think so.
Really?
I think we overrate these friendlies. The fact is that and I know they played most of their real players against Saudi Arabia, but I don't think that they... I think a lot of teams, and most teams actually, use the last few friendlies as a way to try different things out and give players a last shot. So, you know, well...
England did that.
I think, you know, the U.S.-Czech game was pretty frustrating to watch, but I think what... we ended up seeing was we saw 6 extra players and, you know, I got a sense of who was good and who wasn't so good. And I know Bradley he already knew a lot, but it was a way for him to see how players would play together. And so, you know, I think it would be a mistake to overrate these last few friendlies for these teams.
That's true. But, you know, again, history versus form. Spain is going in with so much history of defeat and so much, I don't know, 40 years, and they have to finally break the curse. You know it. That's a big curse to take on. Yeah. You've been a Red Sox fan.
Yeah, I've been a Red Sox fan.
You are.
But I've also seen the Red Sox be the best team in the league and win the World Series. So
yeah.
So it happens. And I think, you know, I think that Spanish team is just so talented. Whether, and it won't be, if they lose in the semifinals, it won't be because they're cursed. It's because another team was very good and got a good bounce, you know?
But I feel like being the favorite, especially in a place like World Cup, is too much. It's too much pressure to take on. Especially, and
it is a lot of pressure.
No, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
And especially because, you know, some of their players are surrounded by this whole transfer saga. I mean, that impacts people. Even if they say it doesn't, there's just so much going around that team right now that I feel like it might just get to them.
If I were to bet, I would say that it's not going to get to them. They're all professionals. They have 2 weeks to block it out of their minds. And you know what? If I were a player, I think it would be enough of a distraction, a good distraction, to get to play with the other 10 best players in the world for 2 weeks. That's
and the
10
best players who are also your best friends from Youth Academy, which is amazing.
Exactly.
Yeah, that is true. But Steven Gerrard turned 30. Can you wish him a happy birthday?
Happy birthday to Steven Gerrard. Also, I'm sure he really enjoyed playing with Frank Lampard in the center midfield.
But he did. That's his place.
I know.
And you know, the last time that they did play together, the mistake that was made was Steven Gerrard wasn't playing in central midfield. He cannot play anywhere else with the same comfort. It's a known fact.
And for all you 1 and 3-year-olds out there who are not, well, if you're listening to this podcast, you're probably a soccer fan. But if you're not, Steven Gerrard plays for Liverpool. He's Najot's totally, well, I don't know if he's your favorite player.
He is.
He's up there.
He's above everything. Even if people look good, it doesn't matter.
And he and Frank Lampard are both England's players.
They're probably like, so Spain have Xavi and Iniesta. Frank Lampard, Steven Gerrard are probably England's. I mean, a lot depends. I think the whole game of England will come down to this, how well both of them adjust. Because if they get it on, they can win the game themselves.
Yeah, that's true.
They can do it.
That's true.
Also, you know, I wanted to say that I was so impressed with the U.S. national team. And I am. And I was showing someone the other day how Clint Dempsey plays. And I know I shouldn't focus too much on Clint Dempsey. I don't know why I am. But maybe because he's cute. But anyways. But, you know, it seems like they're finally getting it together. And while the whole world was busy doing something else, they were busy making a genuine soccer team. Which is pretty amazing. And I was talking about this to someone the other day, and I was like, in the next 3 World Cups, one of the World Cups would be USA's. I genuinely think it would happen. Think about the MLS. It started in 1996. And think about the level that it's going to. Mm-hmm. It's competing with leagues which are 200 years old, and it's still at a good level. What do you think, Devin? Are you going to stand by it?
I think you're completely insane, and I think the leap between being a top 10 or 15 team like the U.S. is, and even that's probably controversial, that may be overrating it in some people's minds, to a top 5 team, a real competitor for winning the World Cup, is a gigantic leap. I think this year's team is the best team, in my opinion, that they've ever had. You have in Donovan and Dempsey, and I think even Howard, you have 3 guys who've proven
Howard is awesome.
Howard is awesome.
He's up there with one of the best.
He is, and I think those three, and Gooch is really great in the back. If he's not injured, he's a legit world player. I think that's the first time in the U.S.'s history where we've had 3 or 4 guys who can really play with anybody. And the rest of the team, they've done a great job of creating a team discipline, and they play very well together, and they all work within the same system. That's a huge, important, I think, sometimes missed factor in creating great national teams, that you get everyone working in the same system. So they're making that, they've gotten to that level. I think that in order for them to really be a World Cup winning or a World Cup challenger, something monumental has to happen to change the culture in the U.S. And okay, you have an answer. Let me hear it.
You know what? All you guys need is a hitman like Eto. I'm telling you, you need a Eto, or you need a Fernando Torres.
Like the world's best striker.
Yeah. You need that.
That's all we need. We just need the world's best player.
You do?
Yeah. Well, okay, so Najot and I were talking a little bit ago. I think this is really interesting. We do at the city. We talk and think a lot about demographic shifts and how that affects the way that the city operates, how that affects our economy. And Joe made the point that the fact that the U.S. has a lot of Hispanic immigration and then also a lot of our growth rate is directly attributable to growth rate in the Hispanic population is something that will really benefit the soccer community in this country. And I thought that was really interesting, so I'd like to hear you talk a little bit more about that.
I mean, it's a well-known fact that the Hispanic community is technically far superior than a lot of people in... I mean, you can see when you see Mexico play, you can see the technical side of things. And at this point, a lot of the U.S. game is based on, you know, set pieces and not technical side of things. And I think as people get together in the streets, or children get together in the streets to play in parks and, you know, see... other children playing a very technical game, it'll eventually get into the school system and, you know, in the club system of playing a very technical game. And imagine the balance that it'll have. You'll have people, you know, playing with set pieces and technical abilities. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a good opportunity.
I think to just add another kind of data point to that is that is also unexpected that I, you know, wouldn't have guessed in a million years, but one of the real homes for soccer in this country is Dallas. And
yeah.
A big part of that is the Dallas Cup. And, you know, I have to imagine that a factor behind the success of youth soccer in that area, which, again, it's football country. No one ever hears about Dallas being where people grow up playing soccer, but it's a place where people grow up playing soccer. And it has to have some connection to the Hispanic community in Texas.
That's true.
And just the cultural importance that soccer has.
And I was talking about this to somebody who does not watch soccer at all. I've been talking to a lot of people about it, and you know what's really kind of fascinating is how even the people who do not watch soccer kind of connect soccer as one of the things that could connect USA to the rest of the world.
Mm-hmm.
You know how USA always has that history of standing apart, but here is one thing, a simple little game, which can actually connect you to the rest of the world and actually get to be part of a global community. I don't know. I mean, it's just a thought.
Yeah. Well, it's very interesting. I hope that we'll win the World Cup in the next
8 to 12 years.
No,
I can see it happening in the next 3 World Cups, which is 12 years.
Right.
Which is 12 years.
It's a whole generation of players. And
yeah.
We've made it.
You never know. You never know. You might have a Fernando Torres in here somewhere.
16 years ago, we had Alexi Lawless, who... He's tall and redheaded and not
16
very good
years ago, you didn't have any MLS.
Yeah, that's true.
Think about it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big leap.
Yep, you're right.
Okay, just
in the U.S. to win a World Cup at some point down the line. The more immediate factor, the more immediate question is June 12th, which now, what's the date today? The 2nd?
Yeah.
So we have 10 days till the U.S. and England kick off their World Cup bids against each other. Who do you think's going to win in that match? What do you think will happen? How do you think that'll go down?
You know, I hope, like, I want USA to win, because I think if they win at that point, the whole craze about World Cup will reach another level in the country.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people would really start watching it. I think they won't. I want them to.
You don't think they're going
to
win?
No. Because, first of all, this English team is a very well-settled team. Like, after Fabio Capello picked up the team, I realized one thing. First of all, they're the oldest English team ever picked.
Mm-hmm.
Also, it's the first time that they're going to have, you know, Lampard and Gerrard actually play the roles that they are supposed to play all this time. What I'm really happy about, I was really sad that one of my... And they have Joe Cole. And I feel when you know that you have players who won't play the next World Cup again, they will give it their all. I mean, think about it. One of them could play a good game, and this game could just go the other way.
Mm-hmm.
One of them.
True.
So
you think you think England has guys who are going to be desperate? It's going to be their last World Cup, and they just are going to step up in a way that they wouldn't if they were young.
Yeah, they're very desperate.
All right.
Cool. So, and they have Capello, who I think is probably the best man. Who can beat Mourinho any day? And not any day, but he can.
Every now and then, maybe.
Yeah, he you know, he's a very well-respected manager. I mean, he's a very strict, well-respected manager, let me put it that way. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
All right, well, I'll be rooting for the U.S. You'll be rooting for the U.S., right, Najot?
I don't know. I'm rooting for the best-looking player on the field.
Who's that?
I don't know. I'd be guessing Steven Gerrard. But there are lots of good-looking players in the England team, so I don't know.
This is appalling. Just appalling. Well, anyway, so I think that wraps it up, right?
Yeah.
We've covered everything we wanted to cover. Look out for our podcast next week. We're going to be talking more about the World Cup. It'll be very World Cup focused, and we'll look forward to it. And thank you very much, Najot.
Thank you.
Podcast number 2 done. We'll see you next week.